Oh, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Get on with it.
Toppy, toppy, toppy.
It's Blackcap.
Hashtag Buck Ennis.
That's magnificent.
Hello, John.
Up and out.
We're on. Bye bye.
Come on.
Hello, and welcome to Nodding Dog AEW Live. In joke. It's all about StreamYard, and that's the way it goes. I've never enjoyed two people nodding away so much in all my life. Welcome to AEW Live. It's the Bournemouth game, home for Premier League game. And before we go anywhere, there's a shout out for Richard Morris, who gives a donation by PayPal last week. So thank you ever so much, Rich. You're far, far, far too kind.
And the pay and the donation he gave us, we Spurs lost 7-2, so he gave us £7.20.
quality.
And YouTube get none of their greasy hands on that. We get 100% of that. That's all going down your wife, runs, Jace.
Oh, sweet. Put it in pennies. Put it in pennies.
There's plenty of room.
First in the box is Captain Sirkan. Then Chris Reedy. Thomas from Norway. Daryl Kane. John Bernstein. A bag of dicks. Stephen Edwards. Ron Ree. And CL1082. Gunner 93 is there. Marky GTI. Vroom vroom. Something to say it. Loki 73. Pete Coulson. Ida Marvin. J Rob. J Rob's in the house. Corey Austin. Joshua Page. I'm missing somebody. I'm so sorry. Marcus Hodges. Hello all. Welcome to ABW Live. Okay, first with me today, we've got my cousin from across the pond. It's Shredder. Say hello, Shreds.
Hello, Shreds.
I was a bit like pitch there. How are you doing, fella? Are you right?
Yeah, doing pretty good. Finally got some autumn weather here in the Carolinas, so it's absolutely lovely. So gonna enjoy this. Hopefully we'll make this a little more entertaining and less of a snooze fest than that 90 minutes was. And then go grab a few brews and watch some Carolina Panthers on the NFL and enjoy a beautiful day.
Ooh, let's not talk about NFL. Jets are trash.
Hey, it's okay. Bayern scored the first touchdown at Tottenham's new stadium.
I'll be watching Juventus until later. It's going to be interesting. Then, as a late replacement, as a substitution, unfortunately, Drew's not feeling too great. So he's back. He's back with vengeance. It's Danny the GFP. Say hello, Dan.
Nanu, nanu, cheeky monkeys. They've got £2 donation, Jace.
I've just seen it.
Amazing.
The magic.
We haven't even started performing yet, have we? Well, you struggle. Dear listener, every show I ever go at, Jason, go start when the clock gets to 6. We've only just realised he doesn't even have the clock. The person hosting the show has the clock. That's why sometimes it was an hour last time before he started doing the show.
The clock comes on late. That's the problem. But Unique 79 smashed in the donation and he says, stale performance, lads, stale performance. Wasn't great, was it? It wasn't great, but it's 3 points. I don't know. I'm feeling like that at the moment. So let's get straight into it. Shreds, I want to go to you first. We're going to talk about lineups.
Yep.
We saw a magic performance Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. Free-flowing, great football. Okay, granted, the quality of the opposition was substandard. See what I did there? See what I did?
I did.
But Ceballos comes in from that team.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else. I was a bit shocked. I thought a few people had done enough there. To sort of win a place. What were your thoughts on the lineup?
Hello to Peter Carlson, by the way, who says I'm a Yankee ledge. I appreciate that. I'll take any praise and compliments. Flattery is the quickest way to my heart. I think it's pretty clear that Emery has, at least for the moment, in the next sort of, I would say, you know, since the start of Europa League and moving forward, he's got his Premier League teams and he's got his Europa League teams. And, we've seen Saku come in and perform well, or Saka come in and perform well from that. Now Ceballos is coming in. I think he's trying to slowly integrate the youth that we see perform well in the Europa League is going to be slowly over this season integrated into the first team. I don't think he's ready to make wholesale changes in the league yet. But at the same time, you know, I see where he's coming from. I see what he's trying to do. And I think a lot of people are going to take pot shots at him. I think it's easy to take pot shots at him right now as well with sort of how well we are performing in the Europa League versus how well we're doing in the league and the types of performances we're putting in. But he's clearly got an idea of what he wants to do and how he wants to integrate the youngsters that are doing well. And it's just going to be a slower process probably than some of us would like. And maybe he's got a little more information that he's keeping closer to the chest and that the club is keeping closer to the chest that may be inciting and informing some of his decisions maybe a little more than we know.
Maybe so, maybe so. I think it's a very fair point you make. Grass Patch has smashed in with a $5 donation, and he says, Chambers looking almost solid defender. Would you have him at centre-back when Bellerin returns, or would you bypass him for holding? We're going to ask that in the question sections, Grass Patch. I think it's a really interesting point. But we're not going to get onto it now, but we are going to have a look at that in the thing. But thank you ever so much for the donation. Very, very kind of you, fella. Danny, I want both your views on this. We're not going to spend too much time on it. We're going to talk about, we're going to concentrate what's on the pitch again. But no Ozil in the squad again. I thought Josh made a really good point in the last radio show about the fact that it's not just Emery talking about Ozil in a more negative manner. It's Pear as well. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts, Dan?
We have the world's most expensive ball boy. That's all I can say about that. I think now I saw a couple of tweets about people who know nothing making stuff up for attention, saying that it looks like he's going to go in January. But there was some more other more important tweets saying that the coaches have allegedly said, I don't know if it's a guaranteed quotes or stuff, that he just isn't progressing. That over the last year or so, he's not been progressing during training as much as other players has. I don't know whether it's because he's not showing commitment, whether he's not got the passion. It could be that he's not a very happy person. It could be the World Cup thing. We've seen that the Spurs goalkeeper, after winning the World Cup, he has now become a tragic goalkeeper. Pear has said after winning the World Cup, you completely lose it. But you look at the season before Germany won the World Cup. I think Özil had one of his best. I'm sure he was with us that season. Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
was he? Yeah, I think that season number two for us, 2 of 6. Yeah, he had, I think, nearly 20 assists in all competitions, which is what we've only had one proper Ozil season out of him. And well, it's not really affected Mustafi though, has it? You don't agree, Jace? Shredder, I mean.
I think we have had a couple of good seasons from Mesut Ozil. I think the problem is Emery's clearly looking for something in training, and I'm not sure that Ozil is a. He's not one of those players who's probably going to go in full bore in training, right? I think that's probably what he's looking for. I don't think we're ever going to get that out of him. I think it's not a surprise anymore, in my opinion, to not see Ozil in the team. Emery clearly doesn't rate him, clearly doesn't like his work ethic, clearly doesn't want him in the side, especially today when I think we pressed a little bit better in the league than we have in other recent games. And you're not going to get that pressing out of Mesut Ozil. And I think we all know that. It's a shame. I really like Ozil. I still think on his day, he's one of the best players on our team. The problem is he's obviously not putting in the work to have his day more with us. And so it's an unfortunate situation that we've let get here that's been brewing for a long time. And no matter what happens in January, you know, we've still got a few months left before then. And if he can fix his attitude, I think that's a little bit of it towards Emery. And Emery can maybe say, hey, let's see if we can give him a couple of run of games, even if it's just in Europa League around some of the youngsters. Let's see what he can do. Because, I think we all know the diamond that can be Mesut Ozil. We've seen that player. The problem is it looks like he's just that diamond doesn't have the shine anymore, and he's been collecting dust on the side. And I don't know if this is quote unquote the house that will clean him off to get the most out of him anymore. And it is probably best that we part ways in January, which is unfortunate, because I think we all understand the quality and caliber that he can have when he does put the effort in. But I don't think Emery is seeing the effort he wants to be able to make the decision that much harder on him. So
I've got to be honest.
Come back on that, Chase.
I want to move on a bit. I want to ask you both a question on it. So go on.
No, I can say in his previous six seasons for Arsenal, this season not included, what I call an Ozil season is when he got 19 Premier League assists. Every other season, 9-5, 9-8-2. So that's when I say he has one good season. But I agree with what you said 100%.
I find it frustrating, I suppose. You see the arguments on Twitter, and they seem to go down the old Wenger in, Wenger out lines a lot of the time. I see the rewriting of history in a lot of way with a lot of things being said. But when you get to the core of the problem, we do have a player who has been world-class in the past, who has contributed to the team, who's taken up an awful lot of wage. You've seen a manager who's not in the Premier League. I mean, we're doing okay, but we're not playing really good football. Who needs some creativity? Who needs some spark? We're seeing sponsors who are obviously money's flying down the drain from them, and nobody's coming together to solve this. And it's not just a one-way street. On you know, it's not just Unai at fault or Ozil at fault.
Correct.
There must be more to this. And
correct.
Do you think, what I want to, from both of you is, do you think that Unai and Ozil can come together to sort this out?
No. Do you, Jace?
No, I don't think they can. I think there's a clash of personalities, and I think at the end of the Europa League final, you saw what Ozil thinks of Unai. I think Unai thinks exactly the same way of Ozil, to be honest with you.
And we've seen the number of times that Ozil was being subbed off early and then he's gone off, and people have lip read what he said, whether it be in English, Turkish or German. And I think one of the Turkish ones was he's no coach or something like that.
Yeah, well,
that's not helping, is it?
It's not. But onwards and upwards, I just find it very strange. He's not in the squad at all for the last two or three games. And this is the bit which I find strange. Right, on to the game. Game starts off fairly well for us. Your good break, comes to nothing. Aubameyang looking sharp. He fires wide after a decent counter. Then we get a corner, guys. Because let's be honest, we're going straight to the goal here. Danny, for once, Pepe takes the corner. It's not one of these bullshit short corners which come to nothing. A really good cross. Fabulous run from David Luiz and a lovely header. Bang, bottom corner. How exciting was that?
It's very good to see. It's good for Pepe. Pepe's now played 8 games, got 1 goal and got 3 assists. So that's an assist or a goal every other game at the moment, which isn't too bad for someone starting off their career. He doesn't look overly confident at times, which is
good. What are you talking about, Danny? He's been awful. That's what everybody's been saying on Twitter.
Yeah,
that he's shit and that we shouldn't have bought him. That's what people are saying. Even in the chat group, I see people saying that. How can you think that, Danny? Unbelievable.
I know. I'll hang my head in shame. But, yeah, it's good that he's getting better. He's getting the goal. He's got the goal. He's got the assist. It's only a matter of time until it all starts coming together. And I think what we have learned from seeing Kieran Tierney when he's – every time I say that, I think I'm saying it wrong. Every time we see him play, that's it. Someone said we've got Robert Redford in the on the show. I think he's referring to you, Shreds.
I'll take that compliment every day. Even if Robert Redford's old and I look just as old, I will take that.
You lucky bastard, you. We've seen with Tierney, with the way he gets those crosses in, we're saying on the two games that he's played, that he looks absolutely magnificent. This is what we need. We don't want high crosses in going 8 foot in the air or going wide. You get him in the centre of that box, you're going to get it in the mixer, as the pundits love to say. And you get it in the mixer, you see what happens. It creates causes chaos, and then people score goals. And that's what happened today. And it's really good to see. And I thought, here we go. This is going to be 5-0 again. did.
Yeah, it was wonderful to see a set piece come off. Shreds, mm-hmm. you'd be winning it.
Yeah, I Bournemouth defended like Arsenal off that set piece. Just a lot of ball watching and standing around. And the good news is we finally capitalized on something. And I'm not trying to be too negative about the goal, because obviously it was a very good goal and it was really nice. And you can only score the goals that are placed in front of you, and we finally did. But if you watch the replay in live action on that, and Jesus Christ, how could we not score? Bournemouth did nothing. Nothing. They stood around like Socrates and Luis sitting there watching a cross. It was good to finally see one of our defenders attack a ball, and luckily it was for a goal. But yeah, it was one of those goals that I felt like we had to score, and we did, because Bournemouth just did not, especially in the first half, just did not look. And I think the whole match, the fans were quiet. Both teams seemed extremely passive, and it was fine. It was good that we were able to actually. It was a great ball in from Pepe again, and I think he's going to come good. We got to give him a little bit of time. He's still a really young player in a new country, in a new league. Just be patient, people. Like, Jesus Christ, people are already writing him off. Like, I wish people would write those folks off as early in their life as we could have. Anyway, but it was good to see a score. And, of course, David Luiz, who's come under a lot of stick for a lot of stuff on defense, able to put it home. And I think that's one of the reasons why we got him.
Yeah. You know, look, you had Chambers winning the corner. Mm-hmm. You had Pepe putting in a fantastic cross. I mean, to be fair to you, you've got to give the boy credit, you know? Yeah. You've got to give him credit. And it's a deft header from Luis.
Yeah.
You know, Wilson's almost jogging alongside him, doesn't want to make a challenge. We got what we deserved at that point. Shred, sticking with you, mm-hmm. you had Pepe firing over after a good break. But after 20 minutes, it's all Arsenal, as you've alluded to. Bournemouth are very, very poor, aren't they?
Yeah, I think Bournemouth were experiencing the troubles of playing out of the back like we did at the beginning of last season, especially when they were going over to Ake, who was in my – luckily, he was on the bench, but he was in my Fantasy Premier League team. And holy shit, is he awful with the ball at his feet that far deep. And I think we put him under a lot of pressure and forced them into some really good mistakes early on. And, you know, we did – there are three things you got to do really well when you press. And you got to press together, which I think we did really well in the first half. Two, you got to be able to turn the ball over quickly, which we were able to do. The third thing that we couldn't do was just find that final ball to really break them down and continue to sort of get shots in and everything. So I think we did the first two really well in the first half, right? I mean, we pressed really well. We forced them into a lot of mistakes, and it was unfortunate that we couldn't really capitalize. But I think there was some really good, as pedestrian as it was, there were some really good things that we could take from this match. That are a good start to a good foundation for us, right? It's not completely what we want to see, but it's a really good start on that road. It's a good first step that we got to continue to build off of.
We'll come to that later, mate. Dan, Ceballos is looking particularly good at this point, wasn't he? He was involved in a lot, whereas we saw him magnificent at midweek. In Premier League since he did okay when he came on against Spurs, to be fair, he was good. But since the Liverpool game, you know, he was awful that night, and he hasn't been great in the Premier League. But he looked good at this moment, didn't he?
I think it all depends on what job you give him and where he's going to play. He ended the game playing in a kind of Ozil hole. And, well, we're going to have to change that to the Bergkamp hole now, aren't we? sometimes during the season he's played on the left, sometimes he's played on the right. I think a lot of it depends on what job you're going to ask Xhaka to do and whether Torreira's playing and whether Guendouzi, because you can only have one player that gets a free role. And sometimes during the season it's been Guendouzi that has that free role, the wasp in the jam jar effect, going around all over the shop, annoying everybody. But when they've got more defined roles, I think that gets the best out of Xhaka, gets the best out of Guendouzi, because it makes him go, look, you're a great player, you can do everything, but just try and keep to this routine, because as soon as you darting all over the pitch, other players then have to come in and feel for you. For when people have got a more regimented positioning, I think that's when we get the best out of Ceballos.
Yeah. Shreds, we then see Pepe drive into the box. I am sorry, okay. But when you look at the penalty from yesterday and you look at this, he's clearly taken it. I can't remember the defender's name. There's almost an attempted rugby tackle in there, and it's not given. From Atkinson to VAR, it was an absolute joke.
Yeah, so my roommate's boyfriend is a Liverpool fan and was watching the match with me and goes, I don't know how, one, Atkinson doesn't give that penalty, and then, two, how VAR doesn't give that penalty. I'm of the belief – I watched that Liverpool game yesterday. I'm of the belief that the Sané penalty was a pin. The player kicked through, and yes, Sané made the most of it, but it's still – you don't have to go down for it to be a foul,
but
right?
But he dives after the effect.
Well, it doesn't matter if you fall or don't. A foul's a foul, period. What happened on Pepe was 1,000 times more egregious than what happened to Mané yesterday. And Martin okay, I got to be careful because I'm going to go on a Jason Davis type rant here and bring some American justice to this. And I won't say the full, but Martin Atkinson is a balding, immature, selfish piece of shit C-word who should never be allowed to referee another Premier League match. Because if you can't get that call right, I don't know what other call you can get right. And the fact that he is still allowed to referee matches after that and then have VAR confirm that is egregious. And the FA needs to finally do something. But this is absolute BS because it easily should have been 2-0 right after that. And it did affect the rest of the match because we stood off a little bit more after that. But the fact that that was not given is absolutely bullshit.
I couldn't agree more. I got to be honest. It's not just the contact, it's the fact he takes him down. Okay. I don't think, if there's contact, it's necessarily a foul, but that's a clear foul and it's clearly overturnable.
Also, unique 79, it's okay if you're bald because you're not a C word, but Martin Atkinson is balding and a C word. Go ahead.
But Dan, your thoughts on it, because I mean, I don't think we've seen a clearer penalty not given.
Well, I was watching, actually, for the first time in many years, I was feeling a bit poorly last night, which is why I didn't do the preview show. I actually sat there with a coffee and watched Match of the Day, waited till half an hour after it started, and then fast-forwarded when those Muppets are talking. And I watched all of that lot, and I thought, well, first of all, before the Mane penalty, I think it was Robertson or the other fullback, he put his studs down the back of the other player there. Who were the boy they playing last night? Leicester put his studs down the back of the Leicester player's ankle in the penalty area and got away with it. Then he went up the other end. Mane was just standing there. Mane wasn't even running away from goal. And I thought, I'm not sure if that is a penalty, but they gave a penalty. And then looking back, you think, well, yeah, he did. He pushed the player over. He ran into our player and shoved him over. And then the referees gave nothing. And I thought, oh, here we go again. You know me, I don't really moan about refs. And then he was giving it the old finger in the ear nonsense. I thought, well, that's what VAR's there for. VAR is there to look at it in slow motion and then go and go, yep, that's a penalty. What I didn't realise is that Harry Kane was running the VAR at the Emirates today. And that's why they didn't get it, because there's no logical. Even we had Tony Gale on the commentary I was watching, the same one as you, Jace, with DAZN.
DAZN.
And he was saying,
we had the same.
Yeah, he was saying, it's a penalty. Of course it's a penalty. Look at it. It has to be a penalty. And Tony Gale is a moron. So there you go. Yeah, like Matthew Wright has just put in there, it was almost a WWF body slam. It's not WWE. Fuck the pandas. It's WWF.
Also, apologies if you are balding. There's nothing wrong with owning it and everything. It's just the fact that Martin Atkinson couldn't be more of a see you next Tuesday.
Correct. Correct. So then, Dan, back to you. We play ourselves into trouble on the edge of a box. Chambers and Kolasinac Kolasinac plays us out of it. We then go on. There's a great ball from Guendouzi into the box. Auba goes in. Bournemouth keeper comes out. Oh, a bit of a clash. Oh, did you think we were going to see another Lloris incident there?
I am after the Petr Cech one years ago. I now do. I mean, unless they're a Spurs goalkeeper, then I don't really care. I smirked and then grimaced at the Lloris thing. But yeah, I think that nowadays goalkeepers are getting the protection that they do need. And sometimes it is a bit worrying. But if you're going to put yourself in those positions, because goalkeepers are known for a little bit being a little bit crazy, aren't they? If you're going to put yourself in those positions, occasionally things are going to happen. Are you on about when was this the first half or the second half? Their goal first half. Down for ages.
First half. Yeah. He lands awkwardly, does he? He wasn't.
I actually thought he was going to come off.
I did as well. So I brought it down, to be honest.
Did he land on his right arse cheek or something, or his left arse cheek? And it looked, that was a hell of a thud he came down with.
Yeah, I think he just landed awkwardly on his side and, you know, been winded more than anything. But he did kind of worry there for a bit. You know, it's not nice. Shreds, then you see Ceballos down the left, great cross, Chambers with a kind of acrobatic volley just wide. At this point, there was lots of pressure, no end product. Mm-hmm. It's all getting a tad frustrating, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I fair play to Chambers. I think he had a great match today. A couple of times he was a little bit pulled out of position, but for the most part, I think one of our better players on the day. And Ceballos, I actually think, had a really good first half as well. But, yeah, it was just a slightly high and a bit behind Chambers. I think he did really well to actually get a boot on it at all. And we've seen him score from sort of those types of balls in the past as well, coming in sort of off the volley or off the half volley there. So, again, we were 90% there most of the match. Most of the first half. Let me withdraw those words real quick. Most of the first half, we were 90% there. It was that last 10%, I think, that we're still missing. And I do think that's one of the positives, though, that we can take away from today, is the fact that for the first half, we were 90% there, which in past league matches, we've not even been 50% there. So, again, something small to build on.
Yeah, let's go into that a little bit, Dan. That's the end of the first half. Yeah, as you said, lots of pressure, no end product apart from the goal. But Bournemouth, by God, they were awful, weren't they?
You asked me for a comment on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, first half they were, and I think it was because they were saying that on the commentary that that when Bournemouth come to Arsenal, they do tend to freeze a little bit. And I think what the manager, Eddie Howe, must have said at halftime, we're 1-0 down, go out there and play football like you do at home. And that's what they did. That's why I would rather us be good in the first half, get a goal up there and be shit in the second half, than be shit in the first half, be a goal down, and then struggle in the second half to get the goal game back.
No, I think that's more than a very fair comment. You know, I mean, look, 3 points today, regardless of what happens, we won 3 points, which is really good to see. On my notes, Ceballos, Chambers, Aubameyang, very good to go first half. Other than that, I thought we kind of went through the motions a bit.
There were some really good moments from Saka as well, though. I feel Jace, like he's a young kid. He made some mistakes in there, but there were some really good positive moments of him keeping possession and winning the ball back down that left hand side. And I think one of the things that we're really underestimating this match that he did really well. Was I think he did a really good job of protecting Kolasinac back there, because typically when we have Kolasinac playing as a left back, and I do love John's comment of the fact that Kolasinac has always been a left back. He's never been a left wing back in the back three until we started to play him there. And then Schalke, he actually won or got into the Bundesliga best 11 as a true left back in the back four. Not saying that he's great for us at all, but I think Saka did a really good job of protecting him and sort of shielding the ball down that left-hand side, because there weren't too many times when they were able to get directly onto Kolasinac, which is where we have a lot of fear, because he isn't as good as a defender one-on-one.
To be fair, though, I think Saka's done that since he's come into the team. I don't think, I don't think you can can never ignore his defensive.
I just know a lot of people are really slating him today and really wanted him to come off early. But I think his defensive output today is the whole reason why he stayed in the match as long as he did.
If I'm honest with you, I think, you know, if you look at Pepe and Saka at the moment, I don't think we got the midfield right at all. Okay, and that's contributing to them not putting the performances they need. But with soccer, okay, you know, I think today is another step on the learning curve. Yeah. It's more minutes in the bank. It's, it's a bit more experience, but he can hold his head up high coming off.
Yeah, he can.
He's not really kind of, you know, he's not been as effective as we want him to be going forward, but going backwards, he contributes.
For sure.
And he doesn't hide.
For sure. You know,
all the youngsters in this team, whether it be Guendouzi, Willock, it doesn't matter. None of them hide. It's been like that for, you know, with the youngsters for a while, actually. Jack and Rambo, you never saw them hide, you know? Yeah. So, you know, it's good to see. That was the first half, ladies and gentlemen. Hello. How are we all? Oh, it's nice to see you. Chatbox has been very, very good so far, to be fair.
I'm scared.
Yeah, you've been very, very good. It's 230 odd of you watching now. I got 65 likes. 65 likes.
How many watching, Jace?
230 odd.
As a percentage, what is that?
I've not got my calculator on me.
Pathetic percentage, that's what it is.
Well, let's put it like this, okay? It's second half Arsenal as opposed to first half Arsenal. And it's really not good enough, is it? It's really, really not good enough. If you're Unai Emery and you're running through the tape of this show and you're thinking, oh, they're all in there, they're all loving the free content, yeah, great, blah, blah, blah. They're not putting the likes in. I see, you know, if you're Unai Emery, you're sending Mesut Ozil, oi, Mesut, why haven't you put a like in? You're not in the squad this week, you haven't put a like in. No, why aren't you tapping that like button, Mesut? Tappy, tappy, Mesut, let's get going. Come on, because fucking less than 120 at the moment is an absolute disgrace. And it's just not good enough. Now, at this point in time, I have to make a decision. I have to make a decision. Do I start phoning your parents? Because writing is a thing of the past now. Or I text them, actually. I text them. Texting them, oi, your kids are like fucking Mesut Ozil. Non-existent. Or do I say, they're like Saka. They're on the wall. They're having a go. They're doing us proud. At the moment, people, you're more Mesut Ozil than you are Bayoko Saka. And that's embarrassing. And your parents are not going to be happy about it. They're not going to be happy. Grandparents at the moment, they're getting the wills out. Scrub that twat's name out. Yeah, he's a fucking idiot. He doesn't tappy-tappy like the Welsh idiot says. No. 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 Start tapping that like button, please. I got 87. I expect 120 Toot Street. Let's get on. I expect 50% of you to have liked this show. Come on. You're getting your free content. Stop fucking being lazy. Start contributing to the show. Don't be like Mesut. Be like Bayoko Saka. Thank you. Right. On we go. Second half. Dan. Bournemouth. Did you see the kickoff? Bournemouth loaded the left-hand side. It was almost akin to a rugby kickoff. And it got them nowhere, didn't it?
I didn't see it. I was busy doing the half-time, getting all the tweets ready. It's David Keith's birthday, 62 today.
David Keith, happy birthday!
That's very good. No, I didn't see the kickoff. What happened?
Oh, they loaded the left-hand side, pulled back, chipped forward to win the ball, tried to get onto it early doors, and it kind of came to nothing. It was just bizarre. I haven't seen that before. Not in the Premier League. Not in the Premier League at all. But Unique 79 is the only one in there shouting out a happy birthday to David Keith. Come on, get on it. With that, Mike Hernandez smashes in the donation and he says, good morning, gents. Thanks for the show. Thank you, Michael. Does Joe Willock have the potential to replace Ramsey? Great question. We're going to ask that in the questions after the show, at the end of this.
Did your heart skip a beat every time they mentioned their goalkeeping, Aaron Ramsdale? Did you go,
No. No, not with the shit I was watching, to be honest. No.
Shredder's having a moment. Sorry. I timed that badly.
Fair play, Danny. Fair play.
Pete Colson says, I sit by the letterbox just in case Jason writes to my parents.
We're working on the next stage of the campaign where Jason's going to find your rogue parents on Tinder and he's going to go and date them. You might be calling Jason daddy.
Male or female, it doesn't really matter, does it? You know what I mean? Hey, we live in the 21st century. Shreds, we see some beautiful skill from Pepe. Just gets the ball tangled in his feet. Or at this point, is getting a bit excited, thinking, hold up, he's going to take off, yeah?
Yeah. But, yeah, like you said, unfortunately, tangled up in his feet and just can't sort it. But, again, I the criticism is of him is a bit unfair. Like, other than Danny yelling at Bergkamp for being shit at one point, like, what's it really doing for us after 8 league matches for us to, like, start slating this guy? Like, I just don't – I don't understand. Like, I get – so here's the thing. I'm somebody who is on the Granite Xhaka bandwagon early, very early, his first season, the preseason match against the MLS All-Stars. And to be honest with you, he hadn't come through. He hasn't lived up to that hype, and he hasn't been 1,000% awful. No, but he has been a liability. I think we can all agree to that. But Pepe is 8 matches in, and we're giving him the same shtick. I even saw somebody put in the chat box earlier. And I'm sorry, I forgot exactly who it was, but put that there's already a hashtag Pepe out. Like, I'm sorry, if you were already on this Pepe out train after 8 league matches, like, the only thing that I can think of is that you can't last at all during intercourse, and you think that 8 seconds is a long time. Because that's basically the exact same thing you're doing with Pepe. Like, give the guy an effing break. It's 8 matches in the league. Come on. Like, he's got a 5-year contract with us.
In all fairness, Jay, I thought his performance against United was awful, okay? He was awful against United. There's no getting away from it. I thought today he showed glimpses. He showed, you know, he showed his willingness to have a goal. I think this is the bit I'm
well, Jason, annoyed. I wasn't able to watch I've been unable to watch the last few games. This is the first one in about 3 weeks. I've honestly been able to, like, sit down and actually watch and enjoy and take and, like, yeah, he looks like a player who's come to a new league and is still figuring it out, but is slowly doing that. There's nothing wrong with that. Players, especially, he's also still so young. Is he 22? He's still so young. And maybe I'm saying that because I'm old as shit, but, like, he's still so young. And that means Danny and Jace are old as God, by the way. But he's still really young.
Like, silence him, Trenton. It's silence him if he's going to have a goal.
He's still going to come into it like we can't be this fickle as fans.
I think we
can call people out for an in-match performance. Absolutely. If you're bad for a match, but that one match does not make a player, AKA Andre Arshavin, Liverpool away.
This is the thing though. Okay. If you look at the moment at, whether it's people having a go at Mesut Ozil, but no matter which side they're on, Pepe, Xhaka, the Mustafi business last season, you know, it's becoming a bit shameful, to be honest. It's become it's schoolboy, it's school ground, and ultimately Nicolas Pepe, you know, okay, he may not have played to your expectations, but he contributed today. And I think, you know, everybody has a bad game. Everybody's going to have a tough time at times. But like you say, you know, we're kind of 8 matches into the season. He hasn't started all those matches. Once we start getting, you know, if we can start playing well and start putting him in good positions, then we'll see the player we bought.
Yep.
But, you know, it's one of those things of, you know, Pepe out, that's a bit silly. Maybe he needs to come in off the bench on occasion. You know, that's up to Unai. It doesn't really matter.
Yep.
But as long as he's contributing, that's the main thing. Dan, moving on from this, Bournemouth were coming into this game now. They really showed some vigour, which was missing in the first half. and we were under the cosh. You saw a couple of Bournemouth attacks. Billings firing well wide and it's the 60th minute. But as opposed to the first half being all Arsenal, so far in the second half, it had all been Bournemouth, hadn't it?
I think they were quite unlucky at times. This a couple of last-ditch saves from tackles from Louise. I liked the way Louise was sliding in, getting the ball, and then getting up and running off with the ball. That was really important. Kalashnik's tracking back pretty well. Chambers was just fantastic for me, whether he was attacking down the right-hand side, whether he was dropping into the defence to cover for people. Socrates actually got a kick in as well, and I thought he was going to puke at one point. And they only had 10 shots. I'm just looking here. We had 12 shots and two on target. They had 10 with, stop being a tit. Yeah, they had two on target as well. So I wasn't overly worried. But when I saw Fraser coming on after about an hour, I thought, oh, here we go. Fraser's going to come on. They got, did he come on for you? So they had Fraser on. They had both the Wilsons on. And I thought that's when they looked at their most attacking.
Yeah, King as well.
Hey?
King as well up front for them.
Yes, yeah, because did he start out wide or finish out wide? One of those two.
Yeah, I think he did.
They changed that. We changed our formation. I think once. They changed theirs two or three times.
Yeah.
And they're a pretty good team. I mean, at home they're a very good side, but it's just for them trying to get that home form to convert to the away form. And I think second half, if they'd have played the first half like they played the second half, I think there definitely would have been more goals in the game. But I think our defenders, Luis was fantastic. I think we've seen why we're playing this bloke £150,000 a week and why he is undroppable. And I don't think it'll be long before Socrates is dropped, because when Bellerin is back, I'd be more than happy to see Chambers partnering Luis at the back or even holding.
We're going to come to that in a bit, actually, pal.
Guys,
then you see Martinelli replacing Pepe after his midweek performance. It was nice to see him come on, but he's coming on. What were your thoughts at this point, Sheds?
Yeah, I think it was around this point that I put a baby falling over asleep as a GIF in the chat group, because that's basically what I was doing. Surprising when you rarely hear in a 1-0 game, especially silence at the Emirates, like period. Like it was just such a pedestrian golf clap crowd that was there today. And I actually know my good buddy Brian was there today. He just moved to London and will be attending matches now. So he was there today, and it just, you couldn't even hear him because he's the loudest MF-er in the stadium probably. Like it was just absolute snooze fest in the second half. We seemed to take our foot off the gas in the pressing department and sit back a little more, which always worries me. And, you know, Danny talked about David Luiz and even Socrates today, who it's really hard to completely fault the defenders, you know, when you have a clean sheet. And I'm not trying to go full Jason Davis and take the piss after a 4-0 win. But at the same time, like, you know, those are the same tackles that when they don't come off, we slate them for. So we know exactly what we have in defense, and at times it comes off like today, and at times it doesn't. It sort of baffles me some of the times when, and I said this before the season, whenever we signed Luis, I said he takes our defense from a 3 to a 4. It's not that much better. He's really good at distribution, and I think that's one of the reasons why we bought him, was to be safer playing out of the back. And luckily today it came off for us, but at this point in the match, it just seemed like both teams were mostly on cruise control, and Bournemouth did seem to grab the dog a little bit more by the neck than we did, and get a little bit more of a foothold. But luckily, the tackles that the players always put in, instead of them coming off as fouls, we were actually able to make it work.
I mean, at this point, the Bournemouth are well on top. Okay, they're on top of that game. They're the ones putting the pressure on. My notes are done. This has gone to shit. Midfield has gone missing. Ceballos has fallen off a cliff. We weren't seeing him. And at the 74th minute, Ceballos is replaced by Willock, which is the most, the game had sucked the life out of the fans, to be fair. The cheer when Willer came on was audible, wasn't it?
Because he's one of our own. He's a young man and he's worked his way through Arsenal. He's deserved to get the chance. And when he does get the chance, when he does come on, he plays well. And that's what the fans want. So Bias have been, like you're saying, run ragged, doing the trying to do the attacking, doing the creating. And then I think that they realise in the second half that part of the second half, it just wasn't working. So we need to bring someone on. And he comes on and he does well. And it's really good. But that point you were saying about the crowd, I noticed that because I haven't been 2008. And then the last one I went was a couple of weeks ago. And I noticed that the first time a player miskicks a ball, boo, yeah. Oh, shit, get him. I'm thinking, what the fuck are you people talking about? When did all these morons start supporting football? It would be 4 to 5 games of a player being shit before you said anything years ago. Now it's one bad ball and it's get him off, sell him, he's all shit, waste of money. You think, some of these people have got no idea. And I've even saw people singing along to the song, jumping up and down to the music at the end of the game when they were there. Should have thought the poor woman was going to have a bloody turn. But it's good to know that we have these young, attacking, vibrant players full of ambition and full of ideas to come on and bring on. Because then you've got to come to it. And then he does the complete opposite a few minutes later when he brings on Taraya. And then I thought, well, hold on, you just made a decent attacking substitution. Try and create something, build something up, because Bournemouth have spent the second half running around trying to create something. They're getting a little bit tired. And then we're going to bring him on, maybe bring someone else on a bit attacking. He goes, nah, we're going to bring Taylor up and play him as a striker or whatever it was that he was playing. You know, the more I see, well, you're going to come to it in a minute, but so you don't have to come to me for it. The more I see of Taylor, the more I don't like him. I don't like his rolling around. I don't like his haircut. I don't like his ugly little face. I don't like short people in general. Sorry, Chris, if you want. No, Chris won't be watching. What am I on about? So save me, Jason. I'm mumbling.
You're just talking bollocks, and I'm sorry.
That's it.
I thought Torreira was great Wednesday night. It was a really enjoyable match to watch.
That's because you played him in DM.
Yeah, exactly. And then if you're going to play him out of position, I think that Unai needs to look at the structure. We'll get into that in the questions. You had Martinelli showing some good hustle, winning a corner. Then had Lerma firing over from... after great pressure from Willock, kind of forced him to fall over. This game is putrid, is my next note. We were on the back foot. We'd lost the impetus, Shreds, and we couldn't seem to get it back at all, could we?
No, we couldn't. And it was a bit sad there. Again, some of the youth guys coming in tried to give us that little bit of spark, but just seemed like we'd already put the water on the spark plug and couldn't quite get the engines going there, right? I mean, Martinelli, what more effusive praise can you say that hasn't already been said about him? You know, a young player coming in, you know, a great find from Adu and the ability for, I think it was said that, you know, teams like Barcelona, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich were sort of all in for him, and Adu was able to turn his head to the Arsenal. And so Willock comes in, you know, you can see the willingness and the effort. The problem is when you've only got two players on the pitch who really want to do anything about it, it makes it difficult, right? Because Xhaka, even Guendouzi today seemed a bit pedestrian at times, you know. Not that he had a bad game, I don't think at all, but it just there's no, and I think this is where I'm fearful of Unai Emery, and I'm not on the hashtag Emery out train as of yet. I probably am in the parking lot of the train station, though. Is the fact that just we don't there's the attitude that we don't seem to have to put games away, and that's what's frightful. That's what has me a little bit scared moving forward. Is as pedestrian as Bournemouth were today, even when they were more dominant than us, they weren't that good. And we just did. We were like, it's 1-0 up. We're fine. Like, we'll just sit back here and just relax. And that comes from the manager down. And that's what has me scared right now. Is it doesn't even seem that the manager really has that killer mentality that we need to push on to the next level, which I think we're ready to do. I think we've got the youth, the exuberance, the attitude in the team. It's just, it needs to be demonstrated from leadership, and leadership hasn't shown that yet.
Yeah. There's a distinct lack of cohesion, and there's a distinct lack of desire to set the agenda in Unai's teams. And that's what I struggle with. I really struggle with that. I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't want to be part of an Unai out campaign at all. But my opinion is I would sack him. Okay.
When would you sack him?
I'd have sacked him last season. I'd sack him now. Okay.
You'd sack him now?
I genuinely, that's my opinion. Okay. It's not something I'd ask anybody else to do. And the club have given him this season, so they've got to give him time. It's only right that the club gives him time.
One game out of 11 and 5 clean sheets, and you're saying you'd sack him now?
I look at that slightly differently. I look at, you know, the Watford game, the United game, the Tottenham game, and the Villa game, and the performances in those games. And bearing in mind, United are awful, okay?
Yeah.
Tottenham are, well, we can see from the last couple of performances from Tottenham as to what they are. Okay, right on. And we never took a game to them. We never set the agenda against these teams. You know, we got lucky against Villa with a clear handball from Socrates. Lucky against United, a clear handball, two clear penalties from Kolasinac. Okay, Unai frustrates me because he does not go to set the agenda. He does not go to set the tone. Okay, and fine, that's his style. The board are right in what they're doing, as in they're giving him time. He deserves the time. My opinion on this and what I, you know, and what how it's going to play out are two different things. And I, you know, you won't hear me calling for him to be sacked. I will say I would sack him, but that's everybody's got their opinion on that. But it's not for me, you know. I see a lot of the rewriting of history with a lot of people on Twitter, and it's fucking shameful.
So who would you get in there? Unique 79 says, who would take over? I know it's not going to happen, but if you...
You know, there's a lot of good young managers out there, okay? There's a lot of people who play good...
If you say Eddie Howe, Jace, I am going to flip my shit.
Look, you've got the likes of Nagelsmann, people like that, okay? That's the sort of thing. But I don't know all the managers out there, but I do know that what I'm watching is... You know, there's a bit of banter between a few of us on Wednesday night with, 4-0 is not good enough. No, listen to the show. I was fucking thrilled with 4-0. I was thrilled.
That's the second game this season you've enjoyed, you said.
Oh, it's brilliant to watch. Okay?
But doesn't that give you hope that when we start getting our better defenders back? I mean, we were talking before the show and Shredder was saying about Man City as shit. And I said that I made a point a month ago, that when Kompany's gone, Laporte is injured, Stones is injured. Now you watch what happens to a team when you take out three of its best defenders. And we've seen to our team what happens to our team when you bring our best defenders back in. And with Aubameyang on form, and with Lacazette coming back, we get that back four of Tierney, Bellerin, Holding, Luiz, Leno. And you add that to what we're doing already, there's no problem at all. It's going to be brilliant.
I genuinely don't think things are going to change that much because he can't get his midfield right. There's a question we're going to come to later, which I think kind of sums this up, okay? You know, everybody gets injuries. That's the way it is, okay? You've got, you know, Unai Emery was employed as a coach, not as a manager. He was employed to get the best at the squad he has. And to date this season and last season, we papered over the cracks so much. And then at the end of the season, it kind of fell apart. You know, I want him to be brave. I want him to sort of set the agenda, going to play some attacking football. I don't think he does that, okay? And that's the reason I think what I think. But I wouldn't ask people to say, oh, you should do this. So, you know, think that's not what I believe in, okay? You know? And if they're going to give him the whole season, good for them because they're sticking by their man, and I admire that in people. But you know, you've got to call it the way you see it. And today is another version of just fucking bang average football, which leads to we're lucky we won 3 points. Bournemouth wasted a couple of opportunities, but you know it's one of those things. Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on, guys. Shreds, after 80 minutes, Saka is replaced by Torreira. You see a good Bournemouth break, almost past to Leno. Yedem fires over.
Yeah.
Chambers has to have two great challenges on the right-hand side. A good clearance from Guendouzi. You know, it's all them, isn't it? It is all them.
Yeah, it was. And I think we invited that on us with with the substitutes that we made as well. The one positive that I can say though was the fact that for the first time we've invited it on us, and played. I'm not going to say great, but we handled it. We were able to handle the pressure. We were this time. And you've got to mention that. Should we invite it on us? That's up for debate, right? Just like the debate that we just had in here. But at the same time, we were able to do that. You know, Luis made a couple of great tackles. Socrates made a block in there. And we were able to weather the storm. And we haven't been able to do that in the past. See Watford. And we came away still with a clean sheet and 3 points. So that's the positive news of it. And I think it's what you're going to get with this team. Is there going to be times when we invite that pressure on us and we shit the bed? And then there are going to be times when we invite that pressure on us and we're able to handle it and withstand it and come out better for it. And we just got to – again, my biggest fear with Ibri is the fact that, especially defensively, we're just not as consistent as I'd like us to be. And that's where I think we need to grow. And I think today we showed a little more solidity in that when we did invite it on us. But I'd rather us try to push them a little bit more because we did stand off and we didn't press as hard. We didn't press as well. And I'd like to still see us do that because I think, you know, you're putting the onus on a poor team when we do that.
Mm. Dan, in extra time, you saw Willock giving it the kind of early shuffle from the short corner to waste time. Absolutely loved that. The confidence in the guy is just fabulous. You then see Chambers breaking into the box across to Auba, and Auba just fires it straight into the post. Oh, summed up the game, didn't it?
I was a bit worried about that because I thought Willock was doing the right thing. I thought it was going to be a short cut because before that, Torreira did a step over corner just to see what they were going to do. And then I thought, well, what are we going to do? We've got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes to go. We're going to get the ball. We're going to keep the ball. And then they went and did an attack. And I thought, that's not really a good idea to do, is it? Because they're on the hunt for a goal. They've had a bit of a breather while we take the corner. And now you're pinging the ball around their box. That's we should be keeping hold of the ball or taking it and surrounding it with two or three of our players. But then, like you said, that if that goal would have come off, well, that was brilliant. I mean, we should have done that straight as soon as possible, try and go for that second goal without letting them have more chances at goal. If we'd have got a second goal, then I think that Bournemouth would have collapsed and we could have got another three or four goals in total. But I don't want to see us attacking with loose ball and creating loose balls when we should be holding that ball in the corner. But yeah, it was interesting and it was nice. It was the only decent thing we did in the second half, I think, apart from the Luis tackle.
I can't remember the Luis tackle.
He slid in, 2 foot, caught the ball, got up and ran off with it.
All right, I missed that. That's the game, guys. It was frustrating. It was a game of two halves, but ultimately it's 3 points and a clean sheet, which we needed to put us into third. To you, first of all, Shreds, did you enjoy it? Yeah. And secondly, you know, I know you kind of stated earlier on, do you think we can build upon this?
Yeah.
We've got the international break coming up now. And, you know, do you think he will build on it? I think this is the big thing I've got, you know.
this is where I'm gonna say, again, I'm not on the Emery out train, but I'm probably in the parking lot. Is I don't know if he knows with this team how to build upon it. I hope he does, absolutely, and I hope we can take this and use some of the video from it, and he can send the players home with 45 hours of stuff to watch from the first half and our pressing specifically, which I think was done really well. And but international break coming up, players, you hope you know. It's the good and bad thing is, you know, we don't have a ton of international players. So hopefully we can maybe get some extra training sessions in and work on our shape and work on our, you know, on that final ball, right? Like once we do win possession back, how are we going to create that final ball? You know, I do think my one big critique with Emery is, you know, Arsblog on his podcast keep going, I don't know what his style is. Well, his style is to change styles every week. That's his style. I don't know if it can be more clear. Whether we like that or not, again, that's up for debate, but that is his style. And I think he's tweaking it too much at this point. He's not letting players play themselves into form. Again, I think today I would have liked to have seen a Tierney or a Bellerin or a Holding come in and get some more minutes, even if they had to be subbed at halftime, just to get some extra minutes under their belt. And we didn't see that. But I think, again, there was a lot of but there were some good moments that we can grow on and use as a foundation to really set ourselves up and come back from the international break as a slightly stronger side, you know, from a defensive standpoint. And it's just finding that final ball. And I think eventually we will. But I think that's more so down to the players making the right decisions on the pitch. I was a little disappointed with Xhaka at sometimes today. Maybe not even necessarily defensively, because I actually think he didn't have a terrible game defensively, but it was going forward where he really broke up a lot of our good play at times, which was really disappointing to me. And I know we got a question about Xhaka in the chat, but I do think he just right now doesn't quite have what we need in midfield, and I think that we can really use some of the youth that's playing well in Europa League to come in and supplement and hopefully carry us to the next step, which is, you know, it is as poor as we played today, it was still 3 points and it was a clean sheet, right? So let's continue to try to build on that and have good performances where we can do the same thing. And then maybe we can sneak our way into a second place, you know, maybe before Christmas with how Man City's going right now.
Okay. Dan, now I'm slightly different for you. I you know, bearing in mind Bournemouth have never beaten us at home in the Premier League, at El Gaff. Do you think this performance kind of sums up Emery this season? Where, and by the way, when we say this in the Premier League, because, you know, when people are saying that Freddie is responsible for the Europa League stuff, I think that's nonsense. That's Emery's achievements in the Europa League and against Forest in the Carabao Cup. But it seems to me as though it's kind of, he's overthinking it too much and just needs to kind of decide, right, okay, actually, this is Bournemouth at home. Let's go out. We've always done well against these guys. They come here, they're a bit like rabbit in the headlights. Let's go for them from the beginning. Do you think that kind of sums up his approach, that he overthinks it?
I'm not sure what different he could have done today. I think that the defence almost picks itself. The strikers definitely pick themselves. We've been moaning for ages that we want the young players to come through. So Guendouzi starting every game. Saka started on the left-hand side and looked really good. I think maybe Aubameyang was slightly off today, but that could just be the usual problem of there's no real creativity coming from the midfield. You've got Xhaka doing the kicking, you've got Guendouzi doing the picking up, and you've got Ceballos, when he's allowed to, playing the balls through. So I just think it was didn't make the most of the first half when we had the chances, and the second half we were worried about letting the one goal lead slip away. So yeah, I think it probably comes down to the first half, really.
Okay, right, let's get on to questions then, guys. Dan, if you can keep an eye on YouTube while I'm in our box, that'll be great. Right, the first question to you, Shreds, from Grass Patch at the beginning of the show. Chambers looking our most solid defender. Would you have him at centre-back when Bellerin returns, or would you bypass him for Holding?
I said this, I think it was almost 2 years ago now, towards the end of the season, that Chambers and Holding are the future of our centre-back partnership. And I think that's still true. You know, I think that he's going to go on to be the world's greatest center back in the world? Absolutely not. But do I think he can absolutely perform and put in performances for us? He's good with distribution. He's good with the ball at his feet. He doesn't panic. He knows how to defend, you know, one-on-one, having played out at right back as well. So I don't necessarily think that it's Holding or Chambers. In my opinion, the future of Arsenal, hopefully maybe even after Christmas, is Holding and Chambers.
I couldn't agree more. Keep on saying it. You know, they've got history as partnership at England age grade. Yep. And, you know, a couple of seasons ago, Arsene's final season, when he did pair them midweek, they looked epic. So, you know, fingers crossed for that. I think we could see a real improvement. I've got to be honest there.
Who would have thought me and you agreeing so vehemently on something?
You do realize it's going to fall to shit now, don't you? You know, we've just put a kiss of death on it, okay?
Next thing you know, the Pirates will win if you two carry on.
Well, funny enough, okay, Pirate alert. Woo, woo, woo. The Pirates played Team Carpy today.
Fucking Carpy bastards.
I know, fuckers. I tell you, I don't like that Carpy lot. They're on the wrong ends, okay? But they've put a stop to the rot. The Pirates have come away with a 3-0 draw. Coming back from one... They've come away with a 3-3 draw, okay? Having coming back from a deficit twice in the game. So congratulations, Chris. You're keeping your job for a week, pal. I did still tweet Carpenter out, to be fair.
But, you have to do it, though.
To be fair to him, he puts a lot of hard work into that team, and it's nice that they put a stop to the rot and grabbed the pack for themselves. Congratulations, Chrissy boy. Danny Marble Halls TV asks, what's the best setup to get the best from Xhaka? As a register, does he need three in the middle?
Oh, the best setup for Xhaka is going to be Torreira playing behind him, and then maybe two in midfield of Guendouzi buzzing around, and then an Ozil or a Ceballos playing up front, a kind of the diamond in the midfield. But that would mean we can't play. We'd have to play, well, maybe a Xhaka and Lacazette up front together. And then you think, well, we've got £72 million Pepe there who doesn't really fit into the team. So if you want to get creativity and protection and passing and all that lot in midfield, we need a diamond. And if we have the diamond, we don't have Pepe. Or because you, I don't, well, it, well, we have to drop one of Pepe, Aubameyang or Lacazette. And I don't think you can drop Aubameyang or Lacazette, especially on this form already. So, yeah, going to have to change the form. Which he has tried the diamond a couple of times this season, hasn't he? But with those players, I just think it's a lot easier to get rid of Xhaka. Although I do like him, and I do think he doesn't get the praise he deserves when he has a good game, when he has a 90% pass accuracy. But there are some parts of his game. He's just like Torreira. He's just Torreira is just a dislikable player. It's you know, if someone kicks your dog and then is nice to him 100 times, you're only going to remember the one time they kicked your dog, aren't they?
It's difficult, isn't it? Because I think the problem he has is to get the best of Xhaka. Okay, you have to change the team. And I think it would have to be a 3-5-2. Okay, and I think you put a Willock next to him who can go B to B.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. And that means no Gwen, you know, no Ceballos. All these players don't get in the team, and I just think it's a little bit square pegs round holes at the moment.
We don't have a player like one who recently left, his name I can't remember, that can do the breaking up of play in midfield, can do the passing in midfield, and then can go on and be the Ozil. We haven't got anyone who can do that, have we, Jace?
No, we don't, but Juventus do. Never mind.
It's not like I'm doing well on that, is it?
Why, God? Shreds. John Bernstein asks, what changes do you want to see after the international break?
So I'm actually going to mix this in with David Keats. Do you lads think that Tierney and Bellerin and Holding will be in the team after the international break? Because I think those are the changes that I would want to see. And after I finish this, I'll come to you, Jason, get your thoughts on it. But I was a bit disappointed not to see them, especially Bellerin, even on the bench today, much less Tierney and Holding on the bench. And I thought when Luis took that one knock that we would see Holding in there. But I do think we do need to start to bed them in a little bit more, even if we've got to plan a substitute around the 55 or the 60 minute mark and let them get some minutes in the league in these games to get up to speed. And I think specifically Tierney and Holding are the two that I would bring back a little sooner before Bellerin. And, but yeah, I think those are the changes. And I think Danny doesn't really rate him, but I think right now Lucas Torreira needs to be the terrier in midfield ahead of Xhaka the distributor, beside Guendouzi, because I think that's going to be the best thing for us in this formation specifically. So those are the changes that I would make. Jace, what are you looking at after the international break, and what would you like to see other than Emery out?
No, I'd start him, okay? I wouldn't, I wouldn't like to see any manager lose his job. That's what I would do, right? Let's get that straight.
Correct. I'm just taking the piss.
Yeah, you know I mean. There's an awful lot of people who like change. I'm very wary of that. First of all, I've got to be honest. I'm going to defend Unai here. I think on Hector, Holding and Tierney, I think he's doing the right thing. I think he's looking at medical advice. He's got agreement from the Scottish squadry. Emma Tierney being called up, etc. I think he's handling them the right way. We need them there for a long time, not a short time, then injured again. So I've got to give him a bit of credit on that. I think the way he's handled it and the performances we've seen midweek out of them, if that's a sign of things to come, he's doing the right thing and well played by him. I would look at this midfield. I don't think this midfield works. I've got to be honest with you. Whether you're playing... Yeah, if you're going to go for that three in midfield or the, you know, 4-2-3-1, etc., it's not just Shaka to drop, to be honest with you. I would like to see Torreira and Willock at the base. I think you get the up and down. It's harsh.
Don't say at the base and up and down, for fuck's sake, Jess. You're going to get people excited.
Sorry.
What, do you want them rubbing up and down the sides?
Sorry. And this is harsh on Guendouzi because although I thought he was average today, I don't think he let us down. I thought there was a couple of spectacular tackles and a really good interception, good clearance, sorry. But I don't think he's got the athleticism that Willock has to get up and down the park. And I think if you're going to have that, you know, two at the base, Torreira sweeping up, he's done it effectively for Samp, for Uruguay, and he's done it effectively for us in the past. But you need that player to get up in support and get back when he needs to. I think Willock has the legs for that. Is it a bit too soon for him? Maybe. You know, he's still a young player. You do not want too much pressure on him at the moment. You know, this has to sort of develop naturally. We saw really good things Wednesday night. And we saw some fantastic football. Today, we it's all a bit of a kerfuffle. We look like a lot of individuals on the pitch. We're not having anybody string us together and make us effective with or without the ball. Although we did get a clean sheet, to be fair. But it was a bit hair and scare of a time. And that is sport. But I like the look of Torreira and Willock together. I like the look of it. Who you play a friend, whether it be Ceballos, whether it be somebody else, I don't know. You know, that's down to the manager, but I'd like to see him try that in a more of a high-profile game. I really would. So that's my thoughts on it. Danny, over to you. Marble Halls TV asks, Mustafi is permanently a squad player, and if not, should he be reconsidered as a starter?
Don't need him, do we? We have got the two young men coming through. I was about to look out my window because I saw a bus go past yours. That's terrible. What's a bus doing down a cul-de-sac? That's not right. Yeah.
At least it's not a pigeon this time.
It's not. So I forgot what the question was. I don't dislike Torreira, though. Torreira, yes, as the covering the two central defenders, is brilliant, Shreds, because you said I don't like him. That's his job. He plays there. He's magnificent. But yeah, no, Mustafi shouldn't be playing. No, there's stick to the Europa League. We need all the clean sheets we can get in that. He can't come in at right back because we've seen that Chambers is brilliant at right back. Can't come in at centre back. I would say you've got Luiz, Holding, and then Socrates are going to be the first three, and then maybe Chambers number four. So he's going to be number five or number six choice at centre back. And he seems pretty happy with that. He had a little joke with people when they said, sorry, I've kept two clean sheets in a row. I don't know if he's done a third one after that. But has he?
Yeah, so he should. This is the thing. He's got to be reconsidered a starter, okay? Whether he gets in or not is a different kettle of fish, but we will pick up injuries. It's the Arsenal. You know, you are going to need every player in the squad. So,
and in the early stages of the Europa League, we do need two squads.
Yeah.
Actually, after the international break, Jace, I've got here 14 days off, 7 games in 19 days. That's just mental. They're trying to kill them.
Oh, well, that's the way it is, mate. That's the way it is. Right, Shreds. Mike and Mike and Andes asks, good morning, gents. Thanks for the show. Does Joe Willock have the potential to replace Ramsey? Tappy, tappy.
Then I will say my bell in the best way that I can. Absolutely, he does. He is the box-to-box like that. He does – I think we have seen him try to make that late run that Ramsey was so famous for, getting into the box. And, again, just a young player, so it's going to take a little bit of time for him to figure out the best way and get the players around him to understand that that's what he's doing. And so, yeah, I think if anybody in this team is more of a direct replacement for Ramsey, then it's absolutely Joe Willock. And also a big shout out to Big Bunny Kane, who says I'm the best host because, again, flattery. And Thunder Road also said, is it true you supported the Cowboys before moving to North Carolina? Never, ever will I support the Dallas Cowboys.
Big questions being asked.
Never. But, yes, Joe Willock absolutely is the best replacement, a direct replacement for a one Aaron Ramsey, who I'm sure at some point will fail at Juventus and come back to Arsenal with his tail between his legs and make Jace a happy man again.
I doubt that very much. Matthew Wright asks then, how do you think we will line up when Laka comes back?
You're asking me?
Yes.
I thought you said Aslam. I thought, this isn't the wardrobe thing. How will we line up? It's going to be annoying because I don't think you're going to get the best out of Aubameyang playing him on the left. And you're not going to play him on the right because that's where Pepe is. I think the only way it can work is Lacazette, is a kind of way that that Liverpool play, where you've got Firmino who plays a little bit deeper. That would be Lacazette's role, getting forward to get in the box and get the stuff done. And then you're having Pepe who's left-footed plays on the right. And Aubameyang is right-footed, plays on the left. So when they do one way, they're cutting in. And when they swap over, they're then going round the players. I think, like in the old Perez Lundberg days, I think that could possibly work as long as they don't have a signal. Like Emery gets a big red flag out and swap now. And then everyone knows what's going on. With the ability of those two to even play on their wrong foot out wide, it can cause a hell of a lot of troubles. And then maybe Lacazette could drop it a little bit deeper and they could have those two playing up front. There's so many combinations up front yet that we're not going to see any of those come to fruition just yet because we haven't had the time where all three of those are playing together. Pepe hasn't come into form yet, got used to the system and the way we play, and Lacazette has been injured. And when Aubameyang has played, he's not played in his best position. But we'll look back at this time in years to come and go, well, we had Lacazette and Aubameyang playing in the same team. Why weren't we scoring 10 goals a game?
Because there's no midfield. I'm sorry. Yeah. Excuse me.
I think you'll find Lacazette on the bench, unfortunately.
Sorry.
You what, Chase?
I think you'll find Lacazette on the bench a bit.
I think you'll find you can fuck off.
Sadly, I think you will.
Look at the Liverpool game on the bench.
Yeah.
That's Emery's opus operandi. Yeah, yeah, that's what he does. And back so, you know, shit. It's not me. Take it up with Unai.
I'll be with you if he leaves Lacazette on the bloody bench. Lana will be in tears.
Well, wait and see.
I'll be in tears.
I'm answering the next one. John Bernstein asks, is Guendouzi always in for a shout of man of the match because he is good or because the rest of the midfield is so bad? I just think it's because his hair bobs around a lot and he gets around the park a bit. I thought Chambers is a man of the match today. I've got to be honest with you. I think Guendouzi's been massively overhyped at the moment, but he's playing very well. Okay. You know, some of the stuff being said about him is fucking ludicrous.
It's not like the kind of stuff that Bunny Kane's saying about our shredder. You see that?
What
big Bunny Kane is putting there about our wonderful shredder.
What's that?
He said you can call him Jason Shredder. I call him Mustafi's creepy uncle. It's not right, is it?
Come talk about my clean sheets.
Hey, that's terrible. but like, you know, you're looking at Guendouzi as a player who's improved upon last season. He's doing very well. You know, I think the setup in the midfield needs to be better. But you know, it's just a really frustrating situation at the moment. You know, I think people are on the hype train, and I think they need to just leave off it. Leave Guendouzi alone. He's going along quite nicely. He's developing quite nicely.
The least of our bloody problems, even if I don't think we have many problems. Our problems are like a giant iceberg that's slowly melting away, killing the human race.
Okay, he needs to go, so let's get through these questions and shut up, please. Okay?
Says he, who does a five-hour monologue every 5 minutes.
Who also said, if I talk about this shit for more than an hour, something's gone wrong. An hour and 20 minutes in.
I know, something's gone wrong. I just enjoyed chatting with you boys. Sheds, Pete Colson asks, if Arsenal win the Champions League final 3-0 against Liverpool next season, but you have to speak properly in gibberish English for a year, would you take it for the team?
All I can say is good evening. Good evening.
I love that. Dan, John Bernstein asks, do you think Emery would start 10 central defensive midfielders if he could?
Yeah, he would.
I guarantee you 10 Matteo Guendouzis would start. 10.
Yeah. Yeah, who's that bloke who did The Fly? What's his name, the actor?
The Fly. Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum. Yeah. I heard that Emery's been on the phone. Jeff Goldblum, he's trying to get that replicated thing so he can have 11 Guendouzis, only 11 Xhakas playing at the halftime, 11 Guendouzis. That's what he wants. All with big eyes. He's got the big eyes.
I think we said the agenda. You know, you got to love him. Fair play.
I don't know what you said. I agree with you.
Treads, Junior Gunner asks, do you believe the consistency of teams this season has a resemblance to the Leicester winning the Premier League season, and that Unai may survive as a coach on pure technicality of finishing in top four as other teams are poor? That's a great question.
Yeah, I'm not so much sure about the when Leicester won the league, but I definitely think that the higher we finish, no matter how our performances look, it only solidifies Unai Emery's place as our manager, rightly or wrongly. The thing is good performances don't get you 3 points, and bad performances don't equal 0 points, right? We've seen bad performances where we've gotten 3 points. We've seen amazing performances where we've gotten none. So at the end of the day, it's a points-driven league, not a good performances-driven league. And so I think, you know, if we can finish third, hard to argue with being back in Champions League, no matter how well or well we aren't playing.
I think performance will come into it, to be fair. I think it will.
I think over time, Jace, your performances have to be good. They have to, you know.
He's been here a year already, okay? He's got to show some some development. I mean, we've seen some young players being developed. That's great for him. That is great for him. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see the way this league develops this season. Yeah. It really is. Dan, your thoughts on that?
Agree.
Dan looks as lazy as our performance today.
He does.
I've only had about 6 hours sleep.
Justin Timberlake wrote a song called Cry Me a River.
Yeah, so I agree what you're saying. I'm just sitting here nodding. I do that too often. I keep forgetting I'm on here, and I just think I'm watching it. I'm thinking that's a good point.
Okay, David Keith, you were the final question, but Treads answered that earlier on. Do we think Tierney, Bellerin, and Holding will be back in the team after the international break? Yes, that is injury permitting. That's it for tonight, guys. We're on 108 likes. You are shit. Really are shit. I always talk up this chat box, and you've let me down. You've let me down because I haven't got enough likes. It's embarrassing, okay? Your parents are going to be ashamed of you. You are Mesut Ozil. Not even in the squad. End of story. Unless I get 9 quick ones by the time I finish this off, that's it. Right. Massive thanks to the chat box for letting me down so badly this evening. You have been interesting to look at, but you haven't really delivered, have you?
No. Get your names and addresses to be handed to a double glazing salesman company ASAP.
I'm going to be reporting you to your mum's toot suite. I'm telling you now. If you're listening on any other platform, thank you for your support. As always, you know, we're overwhelmed without you guys. We just three idiots talking bollocks to ourselves. special shout outs to Unique79, Grass Patch, and Mike Hernandez for the donations. That is fantastic of you. Thank you ever so much. Another shout out to Ellis Mel. Keep your chin up, fella.
Yeah, pal.
Tough week for you, pal. We're all thinking of you. We're all wishing you the very, very, very best, Al. Love to you all. That's it, Dan. Oh, Dan, sorry. International break now, so no shows until Monday night Sheffield United game. Podcast this week, Dan, who's on it?
Me.
Yeah. You have done this one already.
I haven't arranged it, have I?
Yeah. I think I'm on it.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Fuck,
you know, it's gone for hours.
Fucking terrible.
You have to do it on of a Tuesday. You didn't say thanks to Richard Morris as well for the 7-2 money.
I did it for the
same. Yeah, he was round in the end. At the beginning, the end. So I added it again. You know, that's what I said.
Thank you, Richard. I really appreciate that. This is the quality of podcast you get from us.
You haven't told me to end it yet. That could be another 5 minutes.
It's 3 points, guys. It wasn't the greatest performance, but 8 happy days, 3 points. Well done, Unai Emery. Boys, fuck this. Take care. Thank you, Shreds. Thank you, Dan. Take care, Chatbox. Take care, listeners. Keep it Arsenal. Dan, switch this shit off. I'm losing the will to live.
R.I.P. Lord Hillwood.
As soon as I scored that goal, I was fucking livid. Splendid business.